more economic barometers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us for the morning open. It's a look at the economy as trading gets underway for the day. We ask that question, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about 1%. The NASDAQ nearly 1%. The Dow is up 77 points, flirting with 10,000. 99.48 and some change. European stocks are much higher right now, 2% or more. Markets closed mostly up in Asia today. The Commerce Department says retail sales fell in September, 1.5%. That's the weakest number we've seen all year. But Wall Street was looking for something a bit worse. Let's get a little insight this morning from Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. He is with us live from New York. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
I want you to put this into perspective for us. Here we are a couple of months before the holidays. I mean, how do we read this?
Well, it's like an artichoke. You basically have to pull away a lot of the leaves to see that the heart is actually pretty strong. That if you exclude the autos because of the cash for clunkers situation, we actually saw an increase in sales of 0.5%, and Wall Street was looking for a number that was weaker than that.
I like the artichoke reference. From the South, you say onion, and I guess up in New York, you say artichoke. So some more earnings out today. Sam, chipmaker Intel came out last night, Abbott Labs and JP Morgan Chase today, and their numbers were better than expected. I mean, why do these numbers, why are they the way they are? What do these numbers say to us? Are we turning a corner?
I believe we are turning a corner, that the companies are saying to us not only that earnings were better than expected and also admitting that a lot of cost cutting took place, but they're also implying that the top line, the revenue, the sales are actually improving, and they're giving us some guidance about the future that it also looks as if it's a little brighter.
All right. Sam Stovall joining us from New York. Sam, thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. There's a report that's due out today and due to be discussed today from the Special Inspector General Neil Barofsky. It says the culture of bonuses continues at troubled insurer AIG, with executives clashing with government officials over the incentive pay. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
AIG's argument for bonuses is they're necessary to hold on to highly skilled traders. But last year, a kitchen assistant got a $7,000 bonus. Makes you wonder.
Does the argument hold that they have to give these bonuses to hold on to the people?
John Challenger runs the outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas.
The skill levels of the people unemployed on Wall Street are very high. There are a lot of people who'd like to have the jobs of the people who are in them right now.
AIG employees already promised to pay back $45 million in bonuses, but the pay czar, Kenneth Feinberg, says the companies actually received less than half that. And employees at AIG's financial products unit are in line to get nearly $200 million more. That's the division that brought AIG to its knees. Feinberg can't legally break employment contracts that predate the bailout, so instead, he's threatening to slash current salaries. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Tomorrow's the deadline for Americans with offshore bank accounts to come clean to the IRS. Ever since Swiss bank UBS agreed to tattle on some of its U.S. clients, Americans with offshore accounts have been faced with a choice, to tell or not to tell. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Barbara Kaplan of New York law firm Greenberg Traurig is working with about 70 clients who want to own up to the millions they've stashed abroad. Still, 1 out of 10 people who come to her decide to stay mum. She says they think they're unlikely to get caught, but...
Worst case scenario is if they're discovered, the IRS could investigate them for both criminal prosecution with respect to their noncompliance with the tax laws, and severe penalties can be imposed.
People are supposed to report offshore accounts containing more than 10 grand and pay taxes on the income. If they get caught, they can pay millions in back taxes and fines. Robertson Williams of the Tax Policy Center says coming clean has its complications too.
Then the IRS can open up your books for anything else, and they can talk to you about how did you find out about these accounts? Who was the broker that alerted you to this, or what friends told you about it?
He says admitting it can mean dragging lots of people down with you. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, October 14th, 2009, at marketplace.org. General Motors is confident about winning approval for the sale of its European divisions Opel and Vauxhall. Company CEO Fritz Henderson says a deal with the Canadian auto parts maker Magna could be completed this week. For its part, Magna's been busy trying to win support of European labor unions. The company is back in talks today with Spanish workers. And as Christopher Worth reports, retaining jobs is job one.
Magna has said it could eliminate over 20% of Opel's 50,000-strong workforce. That's left union and government leaders locked in a zero-sum game of deciding who will bear the brunt of those cuts. A gain for one country is a loss for another. Germany has been accused of trying to save jobs at home by putting up the bulk of over $6 billion in guaranteed loans to Opel, a practice prohibited by the European Union, which would have to approve the deal. Tim Urquhart is with IHS Global Insight.
You know, then you're in a situation where, they, you know, the respective national government can go to the EU and say, well, hang on, everyone else has been sort of playing the game with Magna and, you know, we're being left out in the cold here. You need to really examine this deal as close as you can. At the very least, I think it's going to lead to delays, and delays for Opel at the moment are not good.
Magna made some progress yesterday. It reached an agreement with British labor leaders to keep both of its factories in the UK up and running beyond 2013. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Enrollment at community colleges is soaring as unemployed workers head back to class to try to upgrade their skills. Today, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is announcing a $6 million grant to expand a model program in Washington State that promotes remedial education to help more students get their community college degree. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman filed this report.
If you were going to put this in with a milling machine, you could not put a blind if you bored a hole through it and sunk it down.
25 students, mostly middle-aged men, are packed into a community college classroom in Longview, Washington, a struggling mill town. Robert Rondinelli has a high school diploma. He worked as a cabinet maker until he was laid off last year.
In my classes that I'm taking, I'm doing very well in most except for the math. The math is what I need the most.
Rondinelli's learning remedial math together with trade skills like welding and manufacturing processes. He's part of a program that pairs basic academics and job training in a single class. Most students have to pass English and math before getting job training.
It slows them down, it trips them up, and a great number of them never get out of it.
Hillary Pennington is with the Gates Foundation. She says community college students in Washington's program complete certificates at four times the rate of other students. The $6 million grant will help expand the program, which Pennington says could become a national model. Robert Rondinelli is hoping for classroom success and a job.
Nowadays, they're requiring a lot more skill for entry level. You know, otherwise, I would be right at the bottom of the heap.
I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Pepsi is getting some hits for a new application on the iPhone. The app is part of a promotion for the company's energy drink called Amp, and it's designed to help the guy on the prowl. But it seems the application may not be helping Pepsi's reputation with the ladies, Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
The app is aimed at helping guys snag any type of girl they might meet.
Let's say you meet a girl who's way into being green, and you need a vegan restaurant. Stat. We've got you covered.
The app is called Amp Up Before You Score, and it provides tips for winning the affection of 24 types of women. Marketing for the drink is generally geared at men. Trouble is, women are not so thrilled about being typed. Hundreds have gone to Twitter to protest what they call a sexist excuse for fun, or one of the worst marketing ideas Pepsi's ever come up with. Apparently, the blowback was so fierce, PepsiCo apologized for the app. According to the Wall Street Journal, though, the company has not said whether it will pull it. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Hamburger chain Wendy's is trying to regain its foothold in the Better Burger department. This week, it's introducing a new specialty burger to go with its new advertising slogan, "You Know When It's Real." As reporter Joel Rose tells us, it's part of the latest battle in the ongoing burger wars.
A generation ago, Wendy's was asking, "Where's the beef?" Now the question is, "Where's the beef from.
With Applewood smoked bacon that's fresh cooked, not pre-cooked, on hot, juicy North American beef.
The market for premium burgers is growing, and Wendy's isn't the only chain trying to get a bite of it. McDonald's is pushing its new Angus burgers, and the field has gotten more crowded, says Scott Hume, editor of BurgerBusiness.com.
So you've got Five Guys Burgers and Fries. You've got regular restaurants that before would have turned up their nose at putting a burger on the menu, now doing fancy burgers of their own. The result of all this is a lot of pressure.
Wendy's management is feeling pressure to improve the company's performance since the burger chain merged earlier this year with Arby's. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
So there's been this issue about quiet cars, hybrids and electrics that make them a hazard to people who can't hear them. Automakers want to put a little noise back into those rides. The New York Times reports they're tapping Hollywood special effects people to help out. Yeah, you heard right, Hollywood. Does that mean we're going to hear Cars of the Future sounding like something out of the animated movie Cars?
Oh, yeah.
Or say, Days of Thunder? Ah! Ow. My favorite, the flying car from The Jetsons. Oh, yeah. Wish they could really make that happen, especially right here in Los Angeles, California. Thanks for being with us today from L.A. I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.